Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, broadcasting live from Washington, D.C., still celebrating Small Business Week. I'll be doing it all week, have been already all week, and going to continue to do so. And we have somebody here with us right now who just can't wait to join us so she can help us celebrate Small Business Week. At the same time, our good friend Joan Pride, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. Joan, welcome back to the show.
Hi there, Jim. Thank you.
Good to have you here. Aren't you excited
about
me being in Washington?
Oh, unbelievably excited.
I could
excited I was trying to leave town and I didn't quite make it.
You're all a Twitter, aren't you?
Right. I'm tingling.
Aren't you excited about it being Small Business Week?
Oh, absolutely. Lots of stuff going on here.
Well, you
I'm just
small
sorry
business.
You all missed the cherry blossoms.
We did, didn't we?
You just
did you know,
missed them.
I was telling the audience last week, yesterday, I guess I should say, that that I missed the D.C. cherry blossoms. But I got to see the Baltimore cherry blossoms.
Oh, because they're just a little farther north, yeah.
Well, and because I was there last week.
Right. Well, that's true.
That helped out a little bit. But anyway,
sure.
It's Small Business Week. Thank you for joining us again this week, and as you do just about every week. And
just about.
Of course, you know, Joan, I celebrate small business every day.
I know you do.
And you cover small business for the Kiplinger Editors, so that means you must too, right?
Absolutely.
You can celebrate it
every day.
Absolutely. She's all worked up about that, too, ladies and gentlemen.
Right.
Joan, let's get over to the letter and talk about the first part of the letter, and that's the what the economy is looking like so far. You guys point out that you think that growth is going to decelerate a little bit gradually. Tell us about that.
Right, and I mean, this isn't terrible, terrible news, but we're saying that the brakes are coming on a little bit. And we're saying, don't assume that the second quarter is going to sizzle, that the pace of growth in the first quarter, which was 4.5%, isn't going to be repeated.
Well, yeah, and I hear you. And, of course, as you and I have said many, many times on the show before, Joan, anything above 3% is pretty darn handy, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
And so I don't think when you look around the rest of the world, throwing obviously China out of the mix because that's such an unusual story, they really don't fit in any kind of a profile.
Right.
You look around to the rest of the world, our economy is still growing like crazy, and so I just think we don't need to say okay, because we're not growing at 4.5%, something's wrong.
Right.
Because as you know, there are other indicators. What was it, 210,000 jobs last month?
Actually, 211,000.
Oh,
don't want to miss those extra 1,000 jobs, you know.
Excuse me.
Right.
Yeah, that's a lot of braces and college tuitions there.
Right.
We don't want to miss those. But the thing is, Joan, even though the economy may be projecting it to slow down a little bit, there are a lot of indicators that show that. Business people and, I guess you could say, consumers have at least a reasonable amount of confidence in the economy.
Well, that's true, although we do say that they're getting a little more cautious.
Well, okay, but I think what that means, though, Joan, is they're not a bunch of drunken sailors.
No irrational exuberance right now, is that it?
They're just doing a little wiser, maybe.
Yeah, right.
But inflation, you guys point out that inflation might simmer down a little bit by fall. I wonder if of course I know this was written a few days ago, with gasoline prices going up. I wonder if you guys still feel that way today.
Well, it's funny. Except for gasoline prices, I think things are going to simmer down. But with energy such an important part of the economy, it's hard to know how that's going to affect the whole picture.
Let me tell you something else, Joan, that could be inflationary. That I'm worried about, frankly. And this is not in the letter, folks. This is in the Blasingame letter, not in the Kiplinger letter. And you know about this. You've seen this. You've been following this. There is a movement afoot in the United States, a xenophobic unit, a protectionist unit movement. And I don't want to be histrionic here, but not, you know, it could remind some people of how the government behaved, how some people behaved at the in the 1930s when they passed the Smoot-Hawley tariff bill, which basically created the Great Depression.
Yes.
And you've got people like Schumer and Lindsey Graham, a Democrat and a Republican.
Yes.
One from New York, one from North Carolina.
Right.
Who are making a lot of noises, along with some other people, about that they're upset about globalization. They're upset about they think that the Chinese are manipulating their currency, which I think they're not. I guess what I'm getting at is, if you want to see inflation, put up some walls around this country. That'll get you some inflation.
Well, that's true. Yeah, that's a good point.
So another thing, Joan, that you guys point out is that you say the interest rates are going to end, interest rate hikes, I should say, by the Fed, are going to end in May once they raise them to 5%. As you know, that was what I predicted back in December that would happen this year. And I have to tell you, Joan, you and the Kiplinger folks and I have been pretty close to this story on the same. We've been singing off the same music. But I actually am starting to get to believe that maybe that we may have missed that prediction. I'm concerned that they may continue to raise.
Oh, you think they'll keep going
after May?
Do you you think that they will not see inflation being brought under control?
Well, here's what I'm waiting to see about, Joan. I'm still waiting to see how the Fed reacts this time with employment continuing to come down. See, the last time the employment came down to below 5%, back in the 90s, the Fed did something that they have really kind of always done. They see low employment, they think that's a bad thing. They think that's an inflationary thing, and they try to fight it. So
yes.
What'll be interesting to me, and I think we'll see it in the summer meeting, and that is, has the Fed learned their lesson and they realize that when Americans hire more employees, that doesn't necessarily make it an inflationary thing. If they don't raise rates, we'll know that they're looking at new models. If they raise rates, we know that their head is still stuck in the 20th century.
I see.
Is that perfectly clear? Is that crystal clear, Joe? Well, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. And here's the thing. I wrote that on a rock, folks, so I've forgotten when the next meeting is. The next one's in May. Then there's either one at the end of June or July. I've forgotten when. But in that meeting, Joe, when we talk again, that's when we'll find out, I think, whether we have a 21st century Fed or a 20th century Fed. Joan Pride and I will be right back. Stay with us. We're back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, a small business advocate celebrating small business, moving it up on behalf of small business here in our nation's capital. And right now we're visiting with our good friend Joan Pride, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. And Joan, before we leave this page, well, I tell you, before I want to go over to the tables in a minute. Before we do that, I want to come back down to the cautious consumers that you guys are talking about. I think you're right. I think they're not. I think that they have gotten a little bit cautious. But you know what I think is going to help this, Joan?
What
is the hiring? I mean, look at you and I both know that in the last 2 years and through 2006, there's going to be like about 5 million jobs created, brand new jobs created. When people get jobs like that many jobs, they buy cars and clothes and new computers and they. You know, furniture that they've been waiting on because they were waiting on that new job or whatever it might happen. That's a great shot in the arm for the economy, isn't it?
Well, and I would think if people see people getting hired, then everyone's level of confidence stays high in terms of not only being able to get a job, but knowing that they can keep their job.
Right, right. Well, and the thing that I think that I take from your first front page here is what we said at the beginning. You know what, folks? I'm taking from this, Joan, that we are, what we're seeing is a healthy economy doing what healthy economy is doing, and that's growing at a reasonable rate, at a reasonable percentage. People have some confidence. They're not, you know, and also, Joan, I think the pent-up demand that was there from 01, 02, and maybe 03 has kind of gone, don't you think?
I think so, yeah.
But you think that's a lot of the cooling off of the economy a little bit?
I would think so, yeah.
Yeah. But when I say cooling off, folks, I'm talking about bringing it down from a boil, right, Joan? we don't need that. I want to go to this table. Folks, if you're not a subscriber to the Kiplinger Editors, these tables that they produce are really handy, and I encourage you to. And we will tell you a little bit how to subscribe to the Kiplinger publications. But the economic forecast tables, Joan, that you have on page one, you guys say the GDP is going to be about 3.2%. From your mouth to God's ears, I hope that's the level, Joan.
Well, boy, and if we're right, then hopefully that means the Fed will be slowing things down a little. And by slowing things down, I don't mean slowing down the economy. I mean slowing down their fight against inflation.
Which you guys point out is going to moderate at about 2.8%. And see, as long as they believe that number, I think you and I will be right, and they'll stop in May with their interest rate hikes. What is it now, 15 in a row? Something like that.
Yes, we even say that somewhere here, I believe.
Yeah, 15 in a row, and the thing about it though, Joan, as I said a minute ago before the break, never mind the 2.8%. If jobs continue to grow, and they believe that that's going to create inflation because of price hikes, if employers get to the point where they can't find enough employees, then I think that'll tell us a lot about the Fed. Employment, 2 million jobs or more this year. The crude oil forecast, though, that's the bad news right now, isn't it?
Well, and this is a new forecast. I hope you're sitting down for this one, folks, because we're saying over $70 a barrel by May.
It's just now bumping seven, isn't it?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, and Joan, you got to believe a lot of that speculation.
True.
I can't believe. Well, there are two things. Number one, and I heard a really smart person say this the other day. I forgot his name, but he's an expert in this area. And he just said, you know, of course, I'm saying that part of it is speculation because of some of the unrest. If the Iraqi government had formed their government and were already in place, I think whenever they do that, I think that will ease things a little bit. But he just pointed out this. He said, look, folks, the global economy is doing really well. We have a great demand for this product,
yeah,
for this commodity. And so the good news, Joan, as you and I have talked about on the show before many times, is that we require less petroleum per dollar of GDP in this country than ever before.
Thank goodness.
Right. Can you imagine, Joan, if we were still as dependent upon petroleum to create a dollar of GDP, we would already been in big trouble.
I can't imagine that, no.
No, it would have been rough. Joan, let's move over and talk about, this is spending. Before we go any further, we're going to get to taxes in a minute, folks, probably right after the next break. But business spending is at about 8%.
And we say that's slowing.
Exactly.
I'll take it.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I'll take it.
That's great. and Joan, as you and I have said before, you know, if the consumers are going to take a break, and businesses can kind of pick up the slack, which is the reverse of what happened, you know, over the last several years, I like that kind of tag teaming, don't you?
Absolutely.
So, you know, I keep thinking about Jacques Chirac, the president of France, Joan. A while back, he said, "We're going to install some capitalism in the French economy," and then he said real quickly, "Oh, but don't worry, not like the Americans."
Ooh.
and I said, "You know what, Jacques? You should have a little American capitalism over there. You should be so lucky."
He's got plenty of problems now.
Yeah, he sure has. Stand by, Joan. Quick break, folks. Right back after these messages. Small Business Week in Washington, D.C. I'm Jim Blasingame, Small Business Advocate. We'll be right back. The show is brought to you by IBM, Office Depot, and Administaff.
Oh, I'm back. business is bad boy.
You're bad, and I like it.
Yep, he's one bad apple.
That's right, we're bad. That's right.
He's Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, and I'm glad you're here. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there, and don't forget all the other things you can do there. My blog is there. You can subscribe to it, too, if you want to. You can hear from me 6 days a week if you want to, or just come and get it. We'll let you come and get it, and check out all the other things that are there on our site, and that's at smallbusinessadvocate.com. Joan Pride is our guest. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. And, Joan, we're moving over to page two in the area of taxes, which is an area that I know you cover very closely with Kiplinger in addition to the small business beat. Tell us about what's going on with the alternative minimum tax this year.
Well, you know, there's been a movement for a while to try to repeal it because it's gotten a pretty crazy. It was put in place, I guess, gosh, about 20 years ago to make sure that the super rich paid enough taxes. But for a lot of reasons, partly because the whole scheme surrounding the AMT was not indexed for inflation, the AMT is catching people at lower and lower income levels every year.
Well, Joan, it's actually a little more than 20 years, but the main thing is, here's the 20-year anniversary. It's been 20 years since the government abolished the tax loopholes that they set this tax up to avoid.
Right, the Tax Reform Act of 1986.
So it's been 20 years since anybody's been able to defeat any taxes with anything like that was set up in those days. And so we've been paying this tax for 20 years for no reason.
But what the thing is, over the last couple of years, Congress has applied what I would call a Band-Aid that keeps even more people from getting stuck under the AMT, and that Band-Aid keeps expiring. And so they will extend the Band-Aid again, but that's not going to take care of the whole problem. They just need to abolish the thing once and for all.
But, Joan, the reason they don't want to abolish it is because they've become addicted to the money that it brings in.
You think?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it is, folks. And they know. In fact, they know exactly to the penny how much money it creates, and they've all got their meat hooks ready to get into it, and that's exactly what the deal is.
The pork barrel is alive and well.
May's going to be a big month for a number of things that are of interest to small business owners from a tax standpoint that you and I will be covering. I'm sure one of those that we can go ahead and talk about a little bit is the abolishing of the estate tax. They're going to vote on that in May.
Right, but we don't think that's going to get enacted in May.
I understand, but it's going to be discussed. And,
right. Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, but I just don't want to get your listeners' hopes up too high.
No, don't worry. When it comes to politicians, we don't get our hopes up too high. We never get our hopes up.
You're very realistic.
That's exactly right. The other thing is the possibility of extending the other tax breaks or making
right.
them permanent. All of that's going to be discussed and debated, I think, in the month of May.
Right, and the big one of those, of course, I think for a lot of the listeners, is the 15% rate on capital gains and dividends.
Right.
Because exactly. That's supposed to expire in 2008.
And that is a biggie, folks. There's no question about it. Economist after economist has reported that I've talked to, the ones I've talked to have reported how much of a boon to the economy, how much of a kick to the economy that is, and it's just very important that we continue to do that. Joan, let's move on down and talk about immigration. Okay, folks, here's what's going to happen. Joan Pride, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors, is now going to explain how to solve what all the immigration problem is, the whole, you know, everything that you need to know about it, and how to solve it. Okay, Joan, you're on.
Hello, I've got a bad connection. I'm sorry. Boy, do you have several hours?
Has there ever been a stickier wicket issue than this one, Joan?
I can't imagine what it could possibly be. This is a fascinating issue because you could argue this both ways. You could argue that Republicans are in trouble because some feel want to be too tough on immigrants, but I think there's also talk of a possible backlash from citizens in this country who may be concerned that Congress might try to go too easy with a sort of a guest worker or path to citizenship program, if you will,
right.
You know, depending on what Congress decides to do. So, I mean, this is filled with minefields on both sides of the political spectrum.
And here's the thing, Joan, new mines are continuing to be laid every day.
That's right.
You know what I mean? As the debate continues and as proposals are offered and compromises are considered, brand new all the minds that are ready to go off
but
haven't even been laid.
I don't feel sorry for them because that's their job to lead.
No, you're exactly right. But you know, you're looking for leadership, Pollyanna, and I'm not sure you're going to find it.
Oh,
stand
I won't.
By.
I know.
Quick break. Joan Pride is our guest. She'll be back with us right after these messages. Stay with us.
But can I buy your magic bus?
Only you can to make all this world seem right.
We're back at 17 till. That's Tony Williams, ladies and gentlemen. The lilting voices of Tony Williams, lead singer of the Platters, a great band from a long time ago, way before Joan was born. Right, Joan? Oh, my.
I appreciate that.
With the Kiplinger editors. Joan, and by the way, folks, I promise you, I tell you how you can find the Kiplinger publications. I hope you go to their website at kiplinger.com. It's just an outstanding site. The free portion of that site is dynamite. But there's another part that's behind the firewall, so to speak, a subscriber section that's just even better. And if you are a subscriber to their any of their publications, you can get there. The Weekly Pub is a Kiplinger letter, the one that Joan and I work off of, and that's weekly, as I said. I've been around since 1923 nonstop. And then they've got the biweekly letters, the California letter, the tax letter, and the agriculture letter. And then there's a magazine that many of you have seen on the newsstands and that you can also subscribe to. Joan, tell us about that one.
Right. It's Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine.
What's in that one, Joan?
Well, it's a lot of it is investing, picking the right stocks and mutual funds, but a lot of it is just good consumer information, such as finding a good car or a good digital camera or
college for
saving
the kids.
For retirement or college education.
Yeah, a lot of good stuff there, folks. And as I say, you can go there. They'll give you a 30-day free trial.
Yes.
Even from the website or from the phone. And, Joan, give us that number, please.
That's right. Our toll-free number is 800-544-0155.
Anything the Kiplinger folks do, ladies and gentlemen, is top shelf, and I hope you'll check them out and give them a chance at your business. Joan, one last thing on the immigration issue. There's a 11 to 12, depending on who you talk to, million undocumented workers. Some people don't like to call them illegals. But they're undocumented, and we got to figure out how to solve that problem. I believe it when people say that most of the 11 million undocumented workers work. They're not undocumented laying around on welfare. I think most of them actually do work. And, Joan, that means that there's a place for them to work. Somebody needs their labor.
Exactly.
And with unemployment of the legal Americans at 4.7% or so, I don't see a lot of Americans lining up to take the jobs that the undocumented workers are doing.
Right, and there's your problem.
Yeah. So I heard yesterday a couple of guys speak at the Mr. Donahue. Who's the president of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, and he said,
right.
You know what? He said, you send those 12 million people home, and you got a big problem in America.
Exactly.
He makes a good point.
Yeah, I think so.
So that's kind of the challenge that our leadership has, isn't it?
It's going to be incredibly tough, but it's really is something they need to tackle.
Well, and Joan, the sad part is, I don't think this is going to be done properly, the way it should be done, with a heavy dose of politics, and that seems to be what what's replaced any kind of leadership in Congress these days. What
right.
do you think?
Well, don't get me started, please.
Yeah, I got you. Joan, let's move down and talk about Walmart. Walmart's in the news because they want to open a bank. What's that all about?
Well, don't kid yourself. They have wanted to do this for a very long time. And banks have been fighting this, but it looks like Walmart, we say, is going to get the green light, and it could happen as early as this summer.
Now, they say to other banks, don't worry, we're not going to open branches.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to loan money. We're just going to – what is it that they want a bank for, Joan?
Well, because it's there, I think. They really want to process their own electronic payments,
right.
And it'll save them a lot of money in transaction fees.
Exactly. They want to be able to take care of their own customers. They say they don't want to, you know, get deposits or make loans to consumers or anything like that. But Joan, you know, you and I both know if once the camel's nose gets under the tent, they're going to go all the way in. Right.
Well, that's the what everyone's afraid of. Sure.
I believe that's what's going to happen. I think that's going to be the deal. So we'll have to see how that works. But it's another example, Jonah. Folks, if you go to my website, go to the article section under my articles, and there's an article in there that I wrote called "Waking Up in Wall World," and you can type that in to the search engine. It'll bring it up for you. And Joan, it was an article that I wrote about a man who woke up in Wall World, and it's a satire that happened that was in about 60 or 70 years from now, and it talks about what the world could look like in a world called Wall World.
Ooh!
So you might want to check that out. It's kind of funny, but it's a little scary too.
I'll bet.
Joan, healthcare.
Yes.
They're at the bottom of page two. Massachusetts healthcare bill stakes out some promising new ground. Now, do you know about this? You understand what's going on here?
Well, the way it's been described to me is, I guess it's trying to put health care on the same basis as car insurance.
Yeah.
Most states, I'm assuming all states, I don't know, or maybe most states require you to have car insurance. And in Massachusetts, individuals are going to be required to, I guess, have at least a bare-bones policy that they would have to finance. This is not, as I understand it, and help me out if I'm wrong, this is not a new regulation aimed at employers, but at individuals.
No, it's telling every. Well, actually, it is, Joan, because if I understand it, if you don't have insurance, health insurance yourself, you can be fined, and if you are an employer and you don't provide health insurance, you can be fined.
Oh, I see.
I think that's the case.
Okay.
Folks, I started to say only in Massachusetts, but actually, Joan, I can think of some other states that would like to try this. And it's another wacky thing coming out of the state of Massachusetts. And what's scary is the Republican governor is going to sign the darn thing. Stand by, Joan. Quick break. We're going to talk about him and some other people right after these messages.
Someone who was out of their mind couldn't.
Welcome back. It's 7 still. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and wrapping up my visit here in Washington, D.C. for Small Business Week. Had a great time, and met a lot of wonderful folks, new friends. I met a lot of great old friends, my friends at the SBA, so many great people there. They're true professionals, and they put on a great event here, the Small Business Week event every year, and I really enjoy working with them. And Joan, it's fun seeing you this week while I was in Washington, D.C., too.
I had a great time. You came by our offices, and it was a lot of fun.
Well, yeah, it's sort of like made your week, didn't it, for me to come by?
Well, I didn't say that, but
okay. Maybe that was what I was thinking. I was hoping. Maybe that's what I was hoping.
Maybe it made your week, yeah.
it did make my week. It always makes my week when I get to see you.
Well, thank you.
But anyway, we still got another day to celebrate Small Business Week, though, folks. Don't worry about that. But this is the last day I'll be doing it from Washington, D.C. Joan,
yeah.
Let's move over to page three. I mentioned Mitt Romney, who's the governor of Massachusetts, who I think may actually sign that wacky, unbelievably stupid health care law in Massachusetts. And he is one of the guys who probably is going to be running for president in 2008, isn't he?
You bet.
Who else?
Well, you know, it's interesting the way we've written this, because we've said, you know, don't assume it's going to be Hillary Clinton versus John McCain, that there's a lot of other folks out there. And from my area of the country, there's been a lot of talk about the former governor of Virginia, Mark Warner, a lot of talk about him. In fact, some have called him the anti-Hillary because he is a lot of things that she is not, with his business background, and not as seen as much of a liberal as she is. And the other thing is, and another point we make in here, is he is one of a group of governors who are running for president. And it's interesting that senators have a really crummy track record when they have run for president, not so governors.
How many have been elected? Of course, Kennedy was the last one.
Yes, and right? Boy, before him,
before
I don't
that?
Think there are many either.
One or two, maybe.
Right.
But we've got Bill Owens of Colorado.
Yes.
Mark Warner of Virginia, former. We got Bill Richardson, Democrat of New Mexico.
Right.
Tom Vilsack of Iowa. You guys point this out.
Yes.
And he's a conservative. Vilsack is considered a conservative Democrat. I didn't know there was such a thing, but I guess there is. But, you know, Hillary, Joan, is nominatable, but I don't think she's electable.
Now, I think you're right about that, but I don't know.
I'm not positive. I'm like you. I agree with Kiplinger's assessment of this thing. I don't think she is a shoo-in for the nomination.
Well, if the Democrats become that upset that she's not electable, then they have to kind of come up with some alternative strategy, and that's where you come up with some of these governors that are more to the right, such as Warner and Vilsack.
Right. Well, the thing about McCain and Hillary, one thing I think they do have in common, they're both running.
Oh yeah.
You know, I mean,
and McCain's interesting because by the time he would leave office, I think he would be pretty old.
Well, he's what, about 67 or 8 right now?
I think by the time he took office, he'd be about 69.
I think he'd be pushing the Ronald Reagan age.
Yes, I agree.
Which, by the way, Joan, is getting younger and younger for me all the time. But
me too.
But no, you make a good point. He's still got away. The truth is that the stars didn't align for him from a chronological standpoint. If he is going to be our next president, he and George would have been better off to have switched.
You know, that's purely, right.
Purely
George is still a very young man.
Yeah, George is what, 7 or 8, 9 or so years younger than him.
Right.
No question about it. But so, Joan, who do you think is going to be nominated? What's the Joan Pride prediction for?
Well, it's hard for me to make a prediction because I'm so biased. I've always liked Governor Warner, not just because he was the governor of my home state, but I've seen what he's done in our state, and I like the fact that he has a business background. But I don't know. I don't know how you stop Hillary. That's the problem. I think she's amassed quite a good political machine here, and she's done a lot of the things she needs to do to position herself for the nomination. So she may not be stoppable.
Being a significant force and the odds-on favorite to be nominated, I think that ship is already underway.
I think you're right.
Getting the nomination, though, you know, she hasn't really been. None of the candidates have really been pressured lately, and that's what it's going to where we're going to find out. You know, which real Hillary shows up, and I think McCain too. I think he fits into that mold as well. Hey, Joan, thank you for being here. Thank you for helping us celebrate Small Business Week.
Thank you, Jim. Very happy to do it.
And we'll see you next time. Joan Pride, ladies and gentlemen, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors, and we couldn't do without her. We're not going to do without her. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, each and every one of you, and I'm signing off from Washington, D.C. I will see you back at our regular environs tomorrow.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.